Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Is there any book that you have talked about on the channel and your opinion has changed since last discussing it?
For me, it'd probably be Red Rising. Positively.
Really? Top five movies of all time, Rich. The best sci-fi movie of all time? Everything Ever All at Once. Everything Ever All at Once made me cry, made me laugh, made me think. It's the most exciting, absurd, amazing film and touched me so deeply. Lord of the Rings is still my favorite, but man, that's a close second.
How old is that film?
2 years old. Yeah.
So that 2-year-old touched you deeply, huh?
Oh my God. That's horrifying. What the? Have you been drinking? What the fuck? Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Two to Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
And we're just in a jolly mood because, Rich, this is a celebration today. Celebration of us.
We finally made it to 25,000 subscribers.
Thanks to us. It's all us. Our hard work and absolute batshit luck.
I've taken a lot of time out of my day making Google accounts. It's a lot.
You know how many videos I've had to like and then get on all the comments you see? You're the only real person watching this. The rest are all creations of Richard and I's imagination.
I mean, I think I made at least a solid 10,000.
Solid.
10,000 YouTube accounts.
So this is really our 15,000 subscriber.
Yeah, roughly.
We're going to do a Q&A here where you guys all submitted questions. They're book questions, life questions, advice questions from the few that would shockingly ask us for advice, and some fun questions.
Good, good. I'm glad it'll be fun.
I enjoyed our 10,000 subscriber one because it got some questions that we never think about came up. Mm-hmm. And the first one, I want to shout out Orcish Dad from our Patreon. He was the very first to ask a question, or one of the first, and he asked this. I thought it was great. How would you describe your co-host's book taste in 3 words? Be nice. Look, it's a celebration day. Don't be too mean. Oh, no.
Short action trash.
Okay.
All right, bring it on.
Pretentious dickhead. That's all I got.
Yes. I do like my pretentious books. They're great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I love to feel smarter than everyone else. And the reason I can feel is like I finished the book, but I didn't understand it. So I feel intelligent. Not that I am, but I feel that way.
A book that this whole thing about entertainment or art, you're going for the action, you're going for something that makes you think.
Yeah.
There's something to be said that you enjoy yourself reading it in the moment, and then a book that never leaves you. You're always remembering it. And you like those books that stick with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I enjoy other books too.
You do. So, yeah.
Hey, look, I love Red Rising too. Mm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, just had to get the only negative question out of the way. I knew we would attack each other.
Negative question?
Oh, no, trust me, it's not. This second question is from another patron, Gecko.
Hey, Gecko.
Hey, Gecko. Gecko asks, Austin, can you pitch Wheel of Time to someone who would enjoy it? And Rich, could you do the same for something you wouldn't like Red Rising?
I like Red Rising, but I'll do it for Name of the Wind.
No. I'm saying it for... I pitch Wheel of Time, you pitch Red Rising type of thing.
Okay, one of those is easier than the other.
pitch Name of the Wind.
I'll pitch Name of the Wind. I got to have myself a challenge.
Do it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Go ahead. Pitch Name of the Wind.
Pitch Name of the Wind to the audience. Okay. So... Do you want to read...
Well, should you preface this with how much you hate Name of the Wind?
Oh, yes.
Someone doesn't know, you hate it.
I really, really don't like Name of the Wind. I can have some compliments for it, but plot, characters, world, I think all suck. I don't like it. It gave me a feeling of disgust after finishing the book and utter disappointment. Now, that being said... You gotta read this book. Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss is one of the masterpieces of our time in fantasy. No one other than Tolkien, no one has come close to coming up to the literary prose mastery of Tolkien. Patrick Rothfuss surpasses. He puts you into a world like no other. His world is whimsical. The level of detail is so complex yet simple to understand that it transports you. The characters, quoth, you get a large epic tale of the King Killer. Quoth has gone on an epic journey and now has fallen so far. And we, the reader, get to find out how far he's fallen and from where. This is a fantastic story, and you need to read it. I will say the one bit of truth into this. It has one of the best scenes that I've ever read in fiction, period. Bar none. I've bawled the most. It's made me think the most. It is perfect. That's actual truth. It has that scene in there.
Is anything you say on this podcast the truth to me? I can't tell when you're lying now.
What do you mean?
That was all... I believed every word you said. That's not what you actually think.
No.
You hate the book?
I hate the book. I hate it.
That's so convincing.
However, there is that one nugget of truth. I actually do think there's a scene in the book that I find literary masterpiece and made me cry. I still think about it to this day. It's one of the best representations. It is the representation of how to write music being performed. I was blown away. Absolutely floored.
I think I believe you.
That's true.
It is.
I just hate the characters.
Oh, okay.
And the plot.
And
the fact that they made Dragon's Lane.
So the world you don't like either?
There's some good elements to it. So I don't like it.
Name of the Wing gets a Rich. What's your rating?
Oh, rejected. I don't like it.
You don't like it at all.
You should just go and read the one scene and then put it back. Go to your library, pick up the right chapter, read that chapter, and put it away.
On the other hand, Gecko asked, can I pitch Wheel of Time?
Go ahead.
Someone who would enjoy it. I just want to say Wheel of Time is maybe the most complex and ever-present, long-lasting series that will stick with you from start to finish. Book 14 floored me. Floored me. Book 13, don't even get me started. Okay, to someone who would actually... enjoy Wheel of Time and pretending I could get in that mood is this book will show you both history and culture like no other. You can go and pick Dune up and Lord of the Rings up and get your world, and it'll give you a compact, complex world right there. But if you want to spend the longest amount of time with characters that will both frustrate you in a way that you'll also love them, it'll have this push and pull with the men and women that just gets you so interested, and they will frustrate you, but that's what makes it good, is by the time you get to that next book, that frustration, it just pulls and yanks on you until you get this huge, satisfying finally they're working out and finally it's getting put together. So not it's just the world and culture is getting all these puzzle pieces together, but also the characters in the story are growing, descending, and you don't know which way they're going. And all these cultures are clashing. They have all their different motivations, and you're looking at all these puzzle pieces coming together. Robert Jordan does it like nobody else.
I'm glad you listen to me sometimes.
I just spewed the...
You're channeling me. I got it.
All right, let's next question. I don't like giving you too much credit. Okay. This next one is from... If you notice a pattern, this is the third one. I promise we answered non-patron questions too. But this is from our patron, Summer.
Hey, Summer.
Hey, Summer. Summer asked us... This is a two-parter.
Okay.
So first, what were the books you read as kids that you think were foundational to your love of reading now? We'll answer that one first. What books were foundational as a kid for you?
The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis.
Okay.
Then there was also Pendragon for me.
Oh, loved, right here too.
Loved, yep. Pendragon. And I think the Magic Treehouse books. I read a bunch of those.
I joined you with Magic Treehouse and with Pendragon. And if we count Diary of a Wimpy Kid,
not
I would say that I did that between Magic Treehouse and Percy Jackson. There was a Diary of a Wimpy Kid phase.
For me, it was Hardy Boys phase. I read
Boys.
Yeah. All of them. All of them. Like my
how many
my
are tiny, there?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Lots of Hardy Boys.
Do you remember the first book you ever read?
The first book?
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, that could just be the Caterpillar story or, honestly,
I have a strong recollection of one of two Dr. Seuss books. It's either Sneetches, so I think my favorite. Dr. Seuss book or the Sleep book by Dr. Seuss. One of the two.
What's the Sleep one?
It's a story about sleeping.
Oh, so your mom read that to you a lot?
My dad, actually.
Oh, neat.
I think they may still have it. Like the pages are all torn up because I like to read it, and I would violently turn the page and I'd rip the pages all the time.
So you've always been a reader?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then Summer asks you this next question. Mm-hmm. What other hobbies do you guys enjoy? And there's the implication that we don't do anything else. I see Summer's asking between the lines going actually, do you guys have lives? Do you have a life outside of reading?
Not much anymore. I used to. Be real into music. That was my thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
you were big into jazz.
Yeah. I mean, hey, high school, I was in the choir. I did jazz band. And I did theater as well. So that was all my thing. I did all that stuff.
What do you currently enjoy outside books?
I like the gym. I'm doing best.
How's he doing?
Huh?
How's he doing?
Oh, you know, Jim, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to meet his family next Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jim and books are your thing right now.
Gym and books. I also like playing around with tech things.
You know, you like fixing stuff. You like projects. You're a project oriented guy.
I like making stuff and things.
Your kind of personality is, let's get rid of my temporary responsibilities and do the year long project. And you nail it. You get the year long project done. Like, you construction workers would love you. 9 months ahead of schedule, but you're 3 months behind with cleaning your room. It's great.
Yeah, basically.
All the hard stuff, you just nail it.
I get into weird tangents of just strange interests. I retrofitted my, I got an iPod Classic and I was like, I'm going to make this supercharge it. I'm going to put Bluetooth in it and I'm going to change it up so I have an SSD in here. And then.
And the positive of that, if there's ever a problem, Connor, our roommate, or something happens, laundry's broken. I did that for a project once. I know
I
how to do that.
I fixed the dryer, I took it all apart. I found the thing that broke. And I put it back together again.
Yeah.
So that's my thing.
Maybe that's why you love worlds and sci-fi so much, is you just like to see how things are made, put together. You like to see the puzzle pieces.
Oh, it's my favorite part.
That's awesome.
Taking things apart and then failing to put them back together is probably my hobby.
Yeah. Summer, does that answer your question?
What do you do outside of books?
Outside of books. I don't like when it's flipped around. It makes me seem like a loser, too. Outside of... Okay, so stories... I like watching movies, too. But that's kind of still in the same vein of shows. Yeah. I would say big thing is with when out with a group of friends. That's what I'm thinking. Because when I'm alone or doing something else, I get you preoccupy your time with walks or whatever you do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I like hikes, but I don't do that every weekend. You love hikes, but you don't do that every weekend. We have a camping trip maybe coming up.
Yeah, no.
That's something coming up. We're doing a camping trip.
That's going to be... and this thing, I'm making sure we're not doing a camping trip of like, oh, let's go car camping. We're going backpacking.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Miles and miles and miles.
Well, yeah. We're just like, oh, are we going to invite everyone to it? I was like, I kind of want... Like, they have to be able to hike at minimum 10 miles with 30 pounds on their back.
We should delay this post so that in case our friends see this, they're not invited ahead of time, you know?
Oh, no, I don't worry. You can just tell me to tell them to know. I'm perfectly capable of telling our friends, no, you're not invited.
Oh,
you're
I already told them, so
it's good.
But so we love hikes, stuff like that. But I would say with friend groups, we're big board game players.
Sure.
We like our board games and we like our Texas Hold'em, poker.
Mm-hmm.
Love cards, love chess, board games.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
What's your real hobby outside of books?
Like a thing I habitually do?
Yeah.
Gym as well.
Gym.
Yeah, gym's
now,
also.
I remember the days when on vacation, you would be trying to find a gym because you had to go to the gym every day.
I also think Jim's a great guy. Me and him get along sometimes. Yeah,
he's a nice man. Like,
I didn't know you were also with him.
Oh, no.
I was a little jealous when you mentioned him.
Jim is, he's not a very selfish lover.
No.
He's willing.
Doors wide open.
Doors wide open.
God. All right, this next question is from, I don't know how to say this person's name, but O-H-R-N-H-U-H. Oh, right now, huh? That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This person asks, would you guys consider doing more movie/show/video game reviews? I think it would be very interesting. Rich, I'm curious. What do you think? Well,
do we want to give a little teaser of what we're actually going to be doing upcoming?
So, of the show?
Yeah.
We could say that, but also I thought you were going to mention a background idea that we had. Want to talk about that first?
Sure.
Our background idea is this is our BookTube podcast.
Yeah.
And one day, once we run this baby dry.
Yeah.
Once we
milk it for everything it's worth.
Jim said that once. So once we really run this down, we're always going to do book stuff.
Yeah.
But people have asked us, are we going to do manga? Are we do this? We'll never do that on this channel. We'll do fantasy sci-fi stuff on this channel. But if we ever want to do a movie review channel, something like that,
yeah,
we'll just make another channel.
Yeah.
We would have that toward movies and shows because we want to keep this as a book community. And also we like books. And so if we want to dive into another thing, we don't want to hodgepodge a million things into this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll change. That's what we're thinking right now at 25K.
I think we give ourselves the space because this is our only channel. Occasionally, we'll do a movie thing just because we want to.
And yeah, like Dune was sci-fi.
Dune's sci-fi. Like, we used to do like Oscar movie stuff, which was a ton of fun for me. I loved watching all those Oscar movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, separate channel in the future.
Yeah. And then video game reviews, probably not. We're not big...
Probably not. I like gaming, but I'm not good at it. I'm terrible.
We're playing Bopple.
Awful.
Right now. Bopple's fun.
Bopple is our game.
Yeah.
That Bopple battle. Check it out on Steam.
Yeah.
It's great.
Not sponsored, but yeah.
We'll give them the time for free.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing you were going to say, we're going to be watching Shogun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We actually are going to be watching Shogun with a kind of TV watch party club.
Yes.
That's actually going to be really fun in the future.
Yeah, it'll be coming a month or so. We'll see.
Month-ish?
We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. Next question is from Casey Gray. Thank you, Casey Gray, for asking this question. Well, we'll see what the question is first. Oh, actually, not thank you. It says, when will Austin shave his head and join the BBMC, Beautiful Bald Man Club?
Hey, even I'm no longer.
He's growing that hair back. Look at that. The next question is from Jar Hugebert.
Jar Hugebert.
Jar Hugebert. I'm so sorry, Jar. Jar Hugh. He asks, what color of socks are you two wearing, especially on Mondays?
Okay, I've changed my ways, but I used to only buy black socks because I thought, why get any other color socks? They work for all occasions.
Now you have other socks.
I now have some white socks.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. Mine have sauce on them right now. Actually, if you want to see... Oh, that's... Oh, they could sell that. Got. Oh, actually, they're selling that right there. Only foot.
There we go.
You're wearing shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, I should wear shoes down here. Okay.
I just forgot to take them off, and they're comfy.
They look comfy. Next question is from Professor Whitebrick. He asks, least favorite book of all time. Bonus points if you finished it. Rich.
You go first.
No, we'll have the same one. You ready?
Oh, no.
You ready?
Ready?
Yeah. Are you sure? Are we thinking of the same book?
Oh.
You ready? 3, 2, 1. Our friend's book. We're so sorry.
We're sorry. We hope we never watch
this. We don't even want to say our friend. He's one of our best friends. We've told him.
We have told him to his face.
We were beta reading for him, and we had to figure out. We gave him a ton of feedback, and here's the thing. He is motivated. He's disciplined. He's going to get better.
His honesty. Yeah.
It was great. He took the honesty, took it very well. He's going to grow from here, but the book was awful.
Here's the thing. I didn't feel super bad about it, though.
No.
Because it's our friend's book.
It's our best buddy, and he knows we're coming from a good place. Yeah.
The actual book that made me more upset about how bad it was Orson Scott Card's Red Sun. It's the Alvin Maker series. I read I think this was the second book in the series.
Oh, yeah.
It's genuinely awful. It's an awful piece of literature.
Oh, God.
It breaks most rules of character and plot. It's incredibly boring and breaks its characters. And the point of, they don't make sense. None of them.
All right.
It's incredibly pretentious. I hate it. I hate that book so much, and I finished
that's
it.
When that insults you more.
Yeah. Oh, it insulted me. It's real bad. Real bad.
No redeeming quality.
I'm tempted to read it again just to hate read it. I kind of want you to read it just to feel the hate.
We could talk about that for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, we'd have some great time of hating that book. Miserable. It's a miserable time.
Let us know if you want us to review that on the channel, everybody.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good time. We can have a good time not liking something. That can be a good time.
It's also just straight up Mormon propaganda. Not, hey, it's a Mormon who is inspired by their faith to write.
Like Sanderson. Ellen.
Yeah. No problem with Mormons. I'm just saying what it objectively is Mormon propaganda.
Oh, wow.
It's what it is. The main character is based off of Joseph Smith and a bunch of other little things that kind of they're not allusions to it. It's a straight up ripoff. It's allegory.
Got it.
It's not fun.
Well, same way, is it similar to C.S. Lewis and his allegory stuff? Oh, okay. So you hate C.S. Lewis stuff too?
I don't like it as much as Tolkien.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
But that's not it. At least it's done well.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my least favorite book that's been published.
Got it. Well, this next question is from Andrew Newman from our Patreon.
Hey, if you want to join our Patreon, talk with us in our book club, and it's a lot of fun, click the link in the description below.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Now, Andrew, he asked this. Is there any book that you have talked about on the channel and your opinion has changed since last discussing it? One that comes to mind for me, if you're still thinking.
Go ahead.
Was, I think, A Fire Upon the Deep. When we reviewed that, I liked it enough but didn't really like it. And now I kind of really like it in hindsight. I think about it more, and I remember just finishing it. As far as just entertainment went, or just me being invested,
yeah,
the pacing issues, there was a bit of a... It kind of went a bit too long in part two, and it dragged. And I went, oh, it was going somewhere so cool. And then the longer that it sits in the back for me, in the background, I'm like, oh, I only remember those big points, which had a great story. Mm. And really... Five-star world, amazing world, and really cool concept, and love that sci-fi book.
For me, it'd probably be Red Rising. More positively.
Really?
Yeah,
book one.
Just after our review of that, especially reading more just action books and just kind of more fun books, Red Rising does it better than the rest.
I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Yeah, no, in general, as long as I'm putting myself into the proper context of not comparing it to, like, it's not going for Ender's Game thought-provokingness of sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's going for your fun. I mean, I'm just thinking about books like Shadow of Lightning, your...
It does it better than that. And hey, Shadow of Lightning's real good, too. I mean, it, that was a fun book. Fun book, yeah.
Red Rising's better. You go through a bunch of... Empire of Silence, similar deal of you're going for your kind of fun sci-fi adventure, and Red Rising's better. Like, it consistently is just... It was more consistent.
It's
more
fun, not thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a, I think, ultimately a very thoughtful world, that, because especially second series, most especially.
Well, it gets more deep, yeah.
Yeah. But first book, super fun. And yeah.
Awesome.
Really enjoy it.
Oh, wow. Man, I can't wait till 50K. Then you're going to love it. It's just every Q&A just gets higher on the list.
Yeah.
This next one is from Wera, who's not only a patron, but also has her own BookTube channel.
You guys got to check her out.
Check out Wera.
I think she'll be... Can we put... Link a description somewhere in there.
Like, yeah,
go check out her channel. She's really great. She's really knowledgeable about books.
And great editing, too. Yeah.
And great editing. Yeah. She's fantastic.
She asks, or more states, she stated this.
She stated? Okay.
Advice to someone starting out. No question mark.
Starting out in BookTube.
I'm assuming because of her BookTube channel. Starting out on BookTube. What advice would you have for somebody, Rich?
The main thing is, in YouTube in general, is consistency and not getting caught up in chasing the views, but also don't ignore them. You're kind of battling between the two things of doing what you love and doing what's fun for you and what interests you, and then finding what also people want to watch, and then finding a way to make those two the same. Because if you're just chasing the views, you're going to hate yourself, and the quality of the content's going to suffer. But if you only do what you want, like, often not everything you want is very watchable or interest to other people.
If you do what you want, you also don't have to have a BookTube channel. You're making it for a reason. You were just making a channel to talk to yourself, well, you just talk to yourself or talk with buddies. So assuming you kind of want to be involved in a community, you're going to have to talk about something that you and others would want to participate in. Let's say you have a video topic that's literally 1970 Kwanzaa-related films. Like, if that's something that you're super passionate about,
and maybe, you just niche down into that topic. That's fine.
Right, but it's just going to be very hard to find. So if you're making a channel with somewhat of a goal to talk with other people, you have to be like, okay. And I'm sure you'll have interests that are in common with others. It's just going, you have to align, not perfectly, but you have to align, what do I like? What do I want to do? Plus, what would other people want to watch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we learned this lesson way too late. Figure out before you even sit down to record, what's your video title? What's the thumbnail going to look like? Plan that first. And if you think that's a good looking title and thumbnail, then record. Trust us. That's way better.
It's way better than anything else. Yeah.
It's way
better. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
We learned that so, so late.
Way too late.
This next question is from Sylvester Crew 5371. And he asks, why are you the way that you are? Also, are you considering releasing a fitness videos for subscribers to get in shape prior to purchasing some of those sweet tank tops? Merch in description below. We have bookmarks and tank tops and shirts and Teeter My Totter shirts, especially.
Yeah, go get that Democracy is Cringe shirt.
That's
there.
A cringe shirt. Nah. Nah.
Yes. Appropriately, Democracy is Cringe, not
so,
the shirt.
So yes, why are the way that you are and releasing fitness videos? No, we're not doing that. But why are you the way that you are?
We start doing a gym channel. I do want to do an entire book club or an entire book discussion while working out at the gym. I think that would be funny. Oh yeah, it'd be hilarious. Like, just
I do dislike being a nuisance to others, though. I generally do dislike the whole. When we went and filmed our merch ad where we went and these ridiculous booty shorts and everything, we went at 2 a.m. was it?
Yeah.
We were there from 2 to 3:30 a.m. where the gym was empty. One person was leaving as we got there. And as we left, one person just came in. Thank God. Because I just, you see those people online that are just in people's faces and just no regard for humanity.
That's fair.
That's my one thing. It is funny.
But yeah. I mean, hey, we could figure out some other stuff of like doing an outdoors workout.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Like just mostly calisthenic stuff, yeah. And maybe even get one of the ropes for a tree to do like those like pull ups and different rope ring things. That could be fun.
Okay. Thank you for the recommendation, Sylvester. That's pretty cool. Okay. This next one from Diana Ormanzi. And this person asks, Diana asks, what would be your dream video project if you didn't have to worry about the YouTube algorithm? Kind of like we were just talking about with what do you want to do plus what do you wish other people wanted to see? What video project did you just go, I wish YouTube ate this up and that we could
have? Oh, in general?
Yeah.
Book reviews. Love that. That'd be nice. There's a bunch of books. It's like, if we could just do that, it's only books and then religion talks. It was like, we're talking about an aspect of faith and it's like, or morality and subjective versus objective morality, consequentialism. Like, that would be fun. I wish people liked to listen to that.
That would be your
but instead, big... people like tier list videos. And top 10 lists, like that's apparently...
Top 10s kill it on YouTube.
Top 10s kill it everywhere.
They do great.
That, and I also want to do, and I just talking to Austin about this, like, today. Yeah. If you guys know the Virtual Insanity music video, saw that, like, visual technique, I want to do something with that video. Recording technique.
I don't know what you're referring to yet.
Here's the thing. I must have missed out because I went from the meme to like finally looking up what the meme came from and like never knew the song and looked it up.
I have
recently.
No idea what you're talking about.
I missed this piece of just internet history.
You'll have to show me after the pod.
Yes. Okay. It's going to be great.
This it's called What's History Something?
Just Virtual Insanity.
Virtual Insanity.
It's a very popular song.
Okay.
Or it used to be.
You'll have to show me this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to do something like that. It looks fun.
Rich, this next question is very important.
Hmm.
What questions, we'll say question, because what question will you ask Brando Sando when you get him on the podcast? I thought about this deeply.
You give yours first.
Because here's the thing with a question to Brandon Sanderson. He's heard everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you also want to ask him something new and different. And you want something interesting because the tough thing with Brandon Sanderson is he has lecture series, he does lives, he does weekly updates. He's so involved that I feel like I've heard him say so much. Mm-hmm. So how do you get on a deeper level? I might ask him something more personal rather than something advice-wise. Something along the lines of, okay, you know, he has his stories and they will live the test of time. He has Stormlights, his Mistborns. He's going to write 100 more stories that will just be there forever. He'll have Brandon Sanderson on there for the test of time. But I kind of want to ask him, okay, one day, Brandon Sanderson, you're going to die. Your children will die, your grandchildren, their grandchildren's grandchildren. What story in like his life does he want to be passed down through oral tradition? Forget his books. What does he want to be remembered for outside of authorship? Like, what's a story of his? He hopes his children tell his grandchildren and so forth. You know, that story in your life where you're just, that's something that is important to me and nobody would know other than my family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does he want to pass down a story in his life? Something like that. I think that would be neat.
That's a lot deeper than my question.
What's your question?
I thought it was a good question too till you talked, but
what?
I would ask him if he had to rewrite Mistborn into a different genre of story.
Yeah.
Which one would he pick? He has to keep the same characters, same world.
That's a great question.
And roughly, like, somehow fit a lot of the plot into it.
Yeah.
It's currently a heist story.
Yeah.
What other type of genre story could he tell in that same setting?
Rich, that's a way better question than me insinuating his children are dying.
Yeah, maybe. Look, when it comes down to it, we'll do the old one too.
You softball him with that, and I'll go like, what about death?
And a left hook. Yeah, it's like a little jab left hook there.
Now, reach out to Sanderson if you want to have him answer these questions. So, if we ever do get to interview, when we interview him.
Yeah. But there's also like the answer he could very easily have for the Mistborn stuff is like he did Era 2, which is... Hey, he took the thing and did a different genre. Somewhat similar. But if this that interview's
coming up, we're going to think deeply about everything to ask. Oh man. Yeah. That's our year. That's our...
We're not recording for like 3 weeks.
Shutting down the business for a little bit.
We're studying.
Okay, next question is from Sabrina. Guess where she's from?
She's from our Patreon.
Our Patreon. Thank you, Sabrina. Also, thank you, everybody, for this. The reason we're at 25K here and still chugging is support from you all. And thank you for watching us in our hooliganish. So Sabrina asks, what's your favorite book or a book you would recommend outside of the fantasy and sci-fi genre?
Mm. You go first. I have mine in mind, but I want you to hear yours.
So my gut reaction to this question is, what's your favorite book outside the fantasy and sci-fi genre? I will say, you know, I almost want to say NA because I have not read enough outside the fantasy and sci-fi. I've read maybe a couple dozen outside the genre, but I don't think that's enough to go, oh, this is the one people should read. It's kind of just ones I like. I haven't found that thing I love outside fantasy sci-fi yet.
Sure. I have my answer. Like, I'm in the same boat. You're of right? Like, I should read more.
Let's make that a point to do so.
I think my next non-fantasy sci-fi book would be I have it over there.
What is it?
The Western. It's the Western
Lonesome
book.
Dove?
Lonesome Dove.
It's actually right there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Look at that.
I plan on reading this fairly soon.
That'll be cool.
It's what I want to read.
But I feel
other than that, it would have to be Night by Eli Weissel. It's the most important book I've read, period. I can't really say too much about it. Like, you just have to kind of read it, but I have not gotten a better look at the depths of human capability and how twisted human nature actually is, and how our society is very much a very thin veil that could be ripped away at any time.
Jeez.
It's a heavy book. And so, highly recommend.
And it's called Night by...
Eli Weissel.
Eli Weissel, okay. What?
It's a book about a Holocaust survivor and his story of how he survived the Holocaust and also his travels with his father.
Gotcha.
Yes, heavy, but
wow,
good.
Yeah, sounds like a great recommendation as far as, like, meaningful recommendation.
Yeah.
And I'll have to read more nonfiction, more outside this genre to give an answer for that in the future.
Not heavy recommendation.
Give a light.
Read The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie. It's a mystery novel. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's about Flavia Deluce, like an 11-year-old girl who's really into chemistry, and she solves crime with chemistry.
Neat.
And she also tortures her sisters opening scene is she melts down poison ivy oil extract and puts it into her sister's lipstick and then reforms it, puts it back together, and then just is watching and waiting until, the inevitable blow up. And it's fun.
You've pitched that before, but it sounds so fun.
It's great. She's awesome.
I
want more of their books.
I did think of a recommendation. While you're thinking of that. This is a book I read when I was maybe 5.
Okay.
Love You Forever.
Oh.
It's a children's book, and it's about the kid. The whole story, just this kid, it was a baby, and the mom holding the baby going, I'll love you forever, my baby.
I remember that.
And then the mom just gets older and older, and then eventually the son holds his old grandmother there and says, I love you forever, my darling you'll be, or whatever it is. And just a story about...
Yeah. I remember that book.
Yeah. Isn't it great?
Oh, yeah.
It's a children's story, and it stuck with me.
Mm.
Love You Forever. Check it out, everybody. I'm not saying that's you. I'm saying that that's the book title.
Yeah, no, I assumed. Yeah. I assumed correctly.
Yeah. I love Jim, not you. Remember that. So this next one's from Ethan. Ethan Tauber, 8476.
Okay.
Ethan asked this. What would you want your fantasy nickname to be called?
Oh. I mean, I think I kind of already got it. It's Dickless of Shinovar.
I was thinking the same thing. Oh my God, Cal from our comment section called you Dickless of Shinovar, called me Hair Blessed. Cal the High Storm. Shout out. That was Florida. That was so funny. I think my nickname, I'd want it to be, my mom growing up nicknamed me Ostie Burger.
Ostie Burger?
Yeah, it's just an endearing Ostie Burger. Mm. And I feel like, oh, if I was a character in a book, imagine.
That really sounds very close to Asperger's.
But imagine imagine this. So imagine Ostie Burger, but not a serious, like not a hero or anything, a villain called Ostie Burger.
That sounds like something could be out of Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Yeah, it could be. Dungeon Crawl, which is, oh, it's fun. It's fun. Yeah, yeah.
Real fun.
This next question is from Duve Was Taken. And this question is, what has been your favorite episode to record so far? And which one did you dread the most before filming? I got one right away for dreading.
Okay.
Emperor's New Soul. Was that it from Sanderson?
No, it's Emperor's Soul.
Emperor's Soul. I was thinking Emperor's New Groove for some reason. Emperor's Soul.
Yeah.
For the pure reason that I read that book when I was on the best vacation of my life. Mm-hmm. And I was in New Zealand. It is the best country on earth. Amazing, unbelievable. I think I just came back from New Zealand, and then we were going to record that. And I just remember having that vacation, not the fatigue, just like the high of vacation, and then coming back and talking about the book. And I look back, like, the book's good. I remember liking the book. I still like the book. Yeah. And I just remember, I want to talk about that book again because I remember having just dread of like, oh man, I just want to be anywhere but here.
That's fair. I mean, I think that most of it.
I knew that was coming. But it had nothing to do with the content, more to do with things surrounding it, which is a little bit of a conversation about when we go to record, things happen outside the recording studio. Sometimes we barely have a life, but sometimes you're in certain moods to talk and then sometimes you're not. And we've kind of gotten better at, hey, when we have to go sit down and get in, like turn on a little bit. Just get like, okay, a little hyped up so we can talk and be jazzy. Because before this, like, oh, we could be sitting on the couch, like eating for an hour, and then it's just having a casual conversation. Okay, need to get on. Mm-hmm. But things outside of what we're doing could make an episode more dreadful or fun. So for you, was there something about a particular topic that you dreaded or that you loved? Or did something, some outside circumstances, some tension cause that?
Ooh. Not much, really. I guess maybe I was most nervous when we were doing our first interview with Sigils.
Andrew Giffler. Yeah.
I was nervous as hell.
I was more nervous
it was so much fun.
Were you more nervous like me with Brian McClellan? I was very nervous for that.
I was too.
Yeah.
But there was something about our first interview that was like not done it before.
True.
And so I was really nervous for it versus Brian McClellan. Like, yeah, it was so cool. Like, wait, we're interviewing an author like I read and really liked.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Honestly, it was instantly affable, so I just got over it real quick.
But, oh, no. Yeah, that's the thing. It was pretty easy. It was, but with Andrew Giffler, we spent a lot of time researching.
Yeah.
His life and every scrap of internet information we could scound for a fun interview.
Exactly.
And so that was a lot of fun. But to the second part of his question of what was the most fun, probably for me, it was the Silmarillion video.
Ah, oh, neat.
I loved that.
That's
one.
That's great.
That was so much fun for me.
That's awesome.
That was great. Great experience.
Alexia asks, which book got y'all into reading and when? Now, take that question, maybe not first reading, but which one got you in?
Got me in.
In.
So my reading history was like, when I was young, I just read all the time.
Oh, also, Alexia from our Patreon. Yes. Don't want to forget.
Yes. When I was young, I just read everything all the time, like up through middle school. And then sometime early high school, I stopped reading because I got an iPod Touch and a laptop for school. And I discovered YouTube.
Ruined you.
Ruined me. Absolutely ruined. And then video games and things. And I just stopped reading altogether. Then I started reading again after college when I was working as a security guard. And Austin got The Way of Kings from a friend of ours. And he handed it to me, said, hey, I know the shifts are long, and you're on the night shift, you're bored. Why don't you try reading this? It's thick. Like, it'll be hard to get through it all. I was like, okay, I'll try it out. And
best
then,
business decision of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, it started with Way of Kings, and then I read everything else in pretty quick succession, and it just restarted my whole reading fever.
So Way of Kings was a big jumpstart, and that's the same answer for me. Jumpstarted for me as well. And in the past, read a lot, and then the invention of technology, or at least the iPhone.
Yeah.
And, well, give me getting an iPhone, so forth, and then gaming and all that. Then it came back around college time, after college. Yeah. This next question, another patron, the King of the North, Reptiverse, I believe.
Hey, Reptiverse.
He asks, have your opinions on books ever been influenced by your audience? Have your opinions on books been influenced by the audience? Interesting.
Overall, no. But sometimes it'll give me pause of like, maybe I'm wrong. Like, it's something of... Ultimately, my opinion doesn't change, but I try to open my eyes to like, why would someone else like it? Or why would someone else dislike it? Whatever the audience has to say.
Yeah.
It just means like, oh, there's another perspective here that I'm not seeing.
Right.
Because there's plenty of books out there where I don't like it, but I can see why someone else would. There's a few out there where I don't understand how anyone could like the book. And those give me pause.
Yeah.
What about you?
Has it ever, I'm thinking not, it's hard to say changed your opinion on it, but maybe tempered. Because something such as, I know, okay, this is how you lose a time war, for example. Well, something I didn't love, I liked it. Yeah. But then it seemed like a lot of people either hated it or couldn't get into it at all. And I still had the experience of liking it, but it tempered my enthusiasm. Because I thought it would be something interesting to talk about. Where, Time War, it was a really, the thing about it was a good book, but the plot is interesting. And how, I just thought, I hadn't seen something structured like that before, and that's what was cool about it. But then a lot of people, when we had our discussion in the book club, didn't like it, and then a lot of the comments on the video didn't like it as well. It's just a very divisive book, so it didn't, I still think fondly on the structure and things like that, but when I go to recommend, I won't recommend it as much now, because I know, oh well, the vast majority of people who I talked with about it, other than pretentious dickless of Shinovar, like, you're the, and of course you're gonna like it, it was pretentious, and that's how you know I might be wrong about something. But since so many people disliked it, I tempered my recommendation of it, so I can still personally feel that, but it will make me go out if someone says, hey, read this book. I'll go, well, probably not, but I liked it. Whereas if a lot of people liked it, I'd go, oh, yeah, read it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now that I know what the consensus is, I'll go, I'll kind of step away from saying read this book, and I'll just kind of talk about why I like it.
That was kind of happened with me with Annihilation. I thought
that's a great book.
I think it's a great book.
Yeah.
I think most of the people don't like really like it, or they were real mixed on. I was surprised.
Yeah, that's by Jeff Vandermeer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great book.
I'm just wondering, like, I don't know if I would recommend it to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it seems from our book club it was very, very mixed.
It was so But man, great character, great mystery.
Great character, mystery story. Yeah.
Solid
world.
Solid book. Yeah.
Solid book.
Yeah.
I got a great recommendation. It reminded me, it's not same, but I from Vera, she recommended Recursion, short book, remind me a lot of Annihilation in some fun ways. Highly recommend that book. It's very fun. So that's where
Recursion
audience recommended a book and changed my mind. So
awesome.
There we go.
Yeah, have your opinions been influenced by recommendation wise, but opinion wise, I think your opinion hasn't really changed, but I guess for me, do you see somewhere as it tempered how you pitch it at all?
Possibly. Same thing with The Book That Wouldn't Burn.
The Book That Wouldn't Burn.
Where audience can kind of like point out things that like I've missed. And so it's like, oh, actually, that's kind of right. Like, I didn't notice some of the writing flaws with it.
Got it.
During the read, but then now on hindsight with talk.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
With people, it's like, that's kind of a good
right
point.
When someone points out something that you overlooked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
This next question is from The Real Sky Goat and asks, are you both dating? Will you both date? When will you both date?
Three important questions.
Answer one of those questions. Are you, will you, when you?
Yes.
To which one of those?
Yeah. You guess.
You know what? Find yourself a nice... Anybody watching right now,
mm-hmm.
If you like books and you like Dick Less over here... Oh, man. That's a fun question.
Yeah.
I am dating, yes.
Yeah.
Hi, babe.
Not at this moment, no.
But you will be.
Yeah.
But when? The question is when. When's that day coming?
Hey, the real answer there is I need to be... All my hobbies don't involve meeting new people.
Yeah.
That's the main issue. My company is basically it's a small company, and it's all dudes. So I can't meet any... I don't meet any women at work. When I go to the gym, there's not that many women there. It's kind
also
early.
Not the place to approach.
Not the place to meet. Like,
yeah.
Where else then I go home and read? Tell me where I'm supposed to meet more people.
I'm like, okay, our weekends where we play poker with the boys.
Yeah, with the boys. <It's>
when we go on hikes with the boys.
Yeah, it's not a very conductive environment to that goal.
Dating advice down below. We'd appreciate that for Rich.
Easier in college. They're just... People are there everywhere. You can't...
Proximity.
Oh, yeah.
Proximity
you
is
just
a...
can't... It's easy because there are people all around. You're always making new friends. There's always people there.
Wait, is that why rural marriages work so well?
It's like, no one else.
Yeah, it's either this or the cow.
Yeah. Some it's people choose the cow.
it's either this or the farm, you know?
Yeah. I need to go to more book conventions events. To meet more people. Yeah. So, yeah.
This next question is a lot more less personal.
Good.
Actually, it is personal in a way. It's personal to our tastes.
Okay.
Top five. There's a lot here. Top five shows/movies or top five movies of all time, Rich. I'm changing the question a little bit because there's a lot here. Top five movies of all time. What are your favorites?
Starting from bottom up, I think.
Yeah.
Or top down. I'll start top down. Best one, The Blues Brothers is the best movie of all time. Then I'm going to cheat and say the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it would be 12 Angry Men. Then No Country for Old Men. And then lastly, trying to think. I could throw in a bunch of things, but
yeah.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, put that in love
there.
It.
Yeah,
love
I'll put it. Those in. That's my top five. You ask me again tomorrow, it'll be different, but there's my top five.
I cheated.
Oh, because my cousin Vinny.
That's so
better.
Fun.
I don't know. Anyway, there we go.
I cheated a little bit. I had the question, and so I wrote down my favorite in each genre.
Okay.
And you're going to agree, I think, with some of these. The best fantasy movie, the best movie of all time is Lord of the Rings. And I'm combining them all in one. The best sci-fi movie of all time? Everything Ever All at Once. I know you won't agree with that, but Everything Ever All at Once made me cry, made me laugh, made me think. It is it's the most exciting, absurd, amazing film and touched me so deeply. Lord of the Rings is still my favorite, but man, that's a close second.
How old is that film?
2 years old. Yeah.
So that 2-year-old touched you deeply, huh?
Oh my God. That's horrifying. Have you been drinking? What the fuck? What?
I felt like there was a setup there.
There was no setup there. That was so out of nowhere. What the? So I like Everything Ever All at Once. Not kids. What the fuck? My third one's one you're going to agree with. The best classic movie of all time is 12 Angry Men.
Yes.
12 Angry Men is essentially flawless. It is an amazing...
It's a perfect movie.
It's fantastic message, characterization, the dialogue's stunning.
You watch that movie and then you get... Every movie after that, I get pissed off at seeing how every other director does dialogue scenes.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off that it's just jump cuts of like... You know, solid shot on person talking, then jump to next person talking, then jump back to that person talking. Piss off. Like, get more creative. Like, people used to actually care.
Most underrated movie of all time that does that phenomenally. Everyone else is wrong who dislikes this movie. Triangle of Sadness.
Oh, fantastic movie.
Top tier movie.
It
has I know I always go back to message, but the theme of hierarchy.
Oh, yeah.
And... The social, it's not a film with a traditional plot structure. Mm-hmm. It is more of a social experiment film with three different parts. And all of them are so interesting. Well, hilarious. Camera shots.
Oh, yeah. Just actually cinematically, great. What I enjoyed the most from that was seeing both the right and the left get it wrong. It was hilarious.
Both sides of the political aisle.
You start the hard anti-woke crowd was like, oh, it's just communist propaganda. Eat the rich. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And then you get the left people. You know, they're saying like, oh, it's actually like talking about ultra-masculinity and blah, blah, and capitalism is good. Blah blah blah. They're both wrong.
The message is so amazing. It's
about
a great film. It's great and it's fun and it's funny and it's...
Well, it's an exploration of hierarchy.
Amazing acting. You remember that the dinner scene at the beginning? Just, so good. So
fantastic.
Good. But, yeah, people might think we're crazy in this, but it's a great film.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great film. I just want to do a couple more shout outs for animated film. Who is your favorite fearless hero? Who is your favorite fearless hero? Puss in Boots 2.
It's a great movie.
Also Wall-E.
Also The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, Emperor's New Groove slaps. It is maybe the funniest movie up there with My Cousin Vinny. And then here's what we'll toss in an anime. Mm-hmm. Your favorite's A Silent Voice.
Yes.
My favorite is Your Name.
I like Your Name too. That's great.
Your Name to me is the most touching movie about fate, and I that is such a cozy film to me. I love it so much. And Silent Voice is a very
I need to show you that movie in sub. I don't know why we watched the dub
A Silent
first.
Voice.
Yeah,
I'd love to watch it again with you because
gotta watch it sub.
Let's put that on the docket. We haven't watched a movie in a while.
We haven't
And then I have another category for the best pure testosterone films of all time. Number one, Well, in no particular order, number one, Gladiator. Gladiator is just, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Roman Colosseum, get out of here. And number two, this is the best testosterone movie of all time, and you said it. Mad Max Fury Road is badass. If you just want a world to suck you in and not let you go and flame guitars on top.
Witness me, Bloodbag! Woo!
So damn good.
I love that movie. Oh, fantastic.
I got to do a recommendation for the most shocking and weird film you'll ever see in your life. Hmm. You thought Everything Everywhere All at Once is shocking, weird, absurd? No. No film touches the serenity of this. Hmm. The surrealism of this. It is a film by Yorgos. Poor Things. It just came out this last year with Emma Stone. It is the strangest, mind-boggling experience where you might not love it. Rich, you might not love it.
Yeah.
I would always recommend it to somebody just for the pure experience of seeing what film can do and what you can actually see in a film. It's visually stunning. The world's crazy, hilarious. Emma Stone deserved the best actress 10 times over. Mark Ruffalo was hilarious. And the film is so weird and strange that many people will hate it. And some people, it is very highbrow. And it's not for everybody. But if you just want to kind of drop your jaw and go, what the fuck am I watching? Watch Poor Things right now. That is another recommendation. And then best crime film out there.
Okay.
What do you think is your favorite crime film?
Best crime film?
Yes.
Oh, shoot. I mean, would The Godfather count?
That's the first thing I have down is not The Godfather.
Okay.
Not Goodfellas. They count.
I like Goodfellas.
I'm saying that this film, my favorite crime film, shames those two. Like, okay. Godfather and Goodfellas, like they look like a B movie compared to City of God. City of God, you didn't watch it yet.
I didn't watch it yet.
You were gone that night. I wish you watched it. Well, City of God is a Brazilian film. It's the best foreign film I've ever seen. It's weird how perfect they got it. It's almost strange because the budget was so low and the actors they took for the City of God were off the street. Yeah. Not professional actors. They just took kids off the street and like paid them, obviously, but non-professional actors.
I like to imagine they didn't. They just took them. If you don't act well, you don't get to go home.
Oh, no. But highest recommendations for City of God. And last but very not least, the movie that maybe sticks in my head the most, you'll not be super entertained watching it. You will not be cheering. You might not even be crying. But the movie that has stuck with me the most to this day and will never leave is Aftersun. Aftersun is a film. It's by A24. Love A24.
Oh, yeah.
And the film, I don't even want to give much away other than it's an experience.
Fair enough.
Okay, that was a lot on that question. I'm very passionate about my favorite films.
We really could do a movie TV.
Do you guys want a second channel on films? Let us know because we'd love stories.
Oh, yeah.
And books, I think, can do it the best because you have more time with it and you get so sucked into the worlds. But love movies and yeah, we could totally do it. Oh, that'd be so fun. So fun. The next question is from Cash Boulder on Twitter or X. And he asks, do you have a most surprising and most disappointing novel? There's a difference between worst and best. It's most, you know, you had your high expectations or low expectations and they were kerplunked.
Surprising, just pure surprise?
Or? I think he's asking surprising as in, whoa, I didn't expect that to be good. As in, you had low expectations, but it was really good. And on the reverse side, you had high expectations and it was real bad. I can answer one while you're thinking.
Go ahead.
Most disappointing. Let me double check if there's a second one. I'll toss it out there for now. Hyperion. Only because I still, when I look at Hyperion, I give it accepted. Like it's, I don't hate the book. Don't dislike it. The book, I think, has real good things in there. I think that I improperly went with the wrong expectations of how much you loved it. I know how much you loved the book, and that got me so excited. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't hear, it's not your fault. It's just my own reception.
Yeah, it's my fault.
No, no,
I ruined it.
No.
Let me take the book.
Let me take this one. Okay? But it was you giving me that high bar for it. Then going in, I went in with the wrong attitude of like, oh, I'm about to see. I had my own vision of what it was, and I still read a real good book, but didn't floor me.
Mm. I think then for me, surprise would... Lord.
Of the Rings?
I'm trying to think. Like, there's some books that have surprised me.
Do you want me to say
recently, books 2 and 3 of Sun Eater.
Oh.
Fuck. Oh my God, surprised me.
Yeah.
Incredibly so. Was floored. But other than that, I would say, oh shoot. What is the book that I'm thinking? Project Hail Mary.
That
was such a, I expected really good. I expected it to be good. But just how it played out was so incredibly surprising. It was one of the best reads I've had all last year.
Even better than The Martian for you, right?
Oh, yeah. I love The Martian. And the fact that we got Project Hail Mary, which is The Martian and better.
You know what's coming out? Amazing. Ryan Gosling's going to star in 2026. The film's coming out.
I'm so excited for
We're covering that on this channel.
Oh, we definitely are.
Oh, yeah. Or on the new movie channel.
My man, Ryan Gosling. Oof.
We love our... Ryan is our guy.
He's our man.
Yeah, he's our man.
We're literally him.
Literally. He's literally us.
Disappointing would probably be... Probably Name of the Wind, ultimately.
Yeah.
And my biggest disappointment, but...
My biggest surprise, I'd say, is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I knew people really liked it and enjoyed it. I didn't think it would be my kind of book, and it's one of my favorite books. I was floored with how much it made. I love my Terry Pratchett, and I've only read a couple of Discworld books. Want to read them all eventually.
Yeah.
Terry Pratchett makes me laugh so much. He's funniest writer, one of the best writers, and makes me consistently laugh. But I had the highest highs of laughing with Hitchhikers, and makes me think to this day about how absurd it was, but how much of a point it had. I was just surprised at by then how much I loved it. Next question we have. Do you like Hitchhikers, right?
Oh, yeah. I like it. I like it less than my Terry Pratchett, though. That's the thing. I do like Terry Pratchett more, which is interesting.
No, fair enough. That and Small Gods are very... it depends when you ask me if I like Small Gods or that Hitchhikers more. Okay, this person, W4NKR, asks, it's Wanker.
It's
Wanker's name. Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but just for context. So this person asks, what are your favorite aspects of a fantasy book, as in world building, characters, magic system, etc.? What's your favorite aspects, Rich?
I mean, world building for me is the main thing. World building and plot.
World building and plot. Okay.
That'll be the most important, then closely followed behind is characters. For me, I can... And then... Basically message. So if the book has a really cool world with something interesting to say and the plot is fun to follow along, I don't care if the character's like a cardboard box. I don't care. They're a vehicle. It's fine.
Yeah.
But those are my most important things. For me, it's world.
Okay. For me, I'd say it's characters. And I think the characters go along with either the emotion or the thought-provokingness of it. So if I love the characters and it's super entertaining, I'm going to love it. If it has amazing characters, I'll switch that as well. It's either characters or thought-provokingness, because there's a book like Pierre Nessy where I actually do love the character. Okay, that's a bad example. The character's also amazing in Pierre Nessy. But if a book sticks with me for a long time, I'll love it.
Fire Upon the Deep.
Yeah. Really like that, but characters don't really matter.
Don't care. Yeah. Doesn't matter. But
really like the book. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would say still I'm very character first person when it comes to those categories. Now, Viola from our Patreon asks...
That's a lot of Patreon ads in our...
We have to feature their questions.
That is true.
I'm not including someone who pays us for a question and supports us of all people. Like, they've gone through the mud of dealing with us. They deserve at least this.
They do deserve to actually get their questions answered.
Viola asked this. She asks, if you had to cast each other as book characters for a movie adaptation, who would it be? And, of course, we've done enough Zeth Fun.
Yeah.
Besides Zeth. Yeah. We have to cast each other. So you cast me, I'll cast you.
Do we want to pick a book series we both read and then put each other in that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
You pick one for me, I'll pick one for you.
Okay. Series, I will put you in...
Actually, I know what you're going in.
Hmm?
You're the main character of... You're Carl in Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Yeah.
I
take that compliment, buddy.
No, I totally see it. The very first chapter or two reminded me of you. It's like, it's no spoilers. This is so early. Where Princess Donut, the cat, just hates everybody. And Princess Donut, the cat, just goes to these beauty pageants and is a spoiled cat and does what she wants. And then I remember Carl at one point says that, you know, this cat could give a fuck. And I respect that. And that was a dialogue straight from you, where you just respect someone who doesn't give a shit about other people. You go like, I respect the person who can say no. I respect Princess Donut. You are totally Carl, and has that very gruff, like, knows what's right and wrong, and doesn't know, again, has that moral compass. Yeah. Doesn't know exactly why they think that. You know, you're still explaining, like, why do I think that? I just do. Mm-hmm. And that's what's right, that's what's wrong, and you're right about your morals, and then I'm just going to do it, and I'm just going to punch my way to happiness. So you are Crawler. Or you are Carl from Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Thank you so much. I was thinking, like, oh, do I say Moash? It'd be funny, but now I got to be...
No, you don't have to. Look, I wasn't fishing for compliments. I can't
Here's the thing. I can't say Darrow. I would I'm
not Darrow.
You're not Darrow. But... If I were to pick from The Red Rising, who would you be?
I don't know if there's one in Red Rising, though. You don't have to pick from there. Pick anywhere. Any book.
You add a little... Not later chapters, but I could see you as Sevro. I think you could... You have that energy. You're not often allowed to release the manic energy that you have. But I think you could have it.
So if I was in the game.
First trilogy, Sevro. You have that happy energy of just when you're Sevro's happy. Yeah, he is. He's having a blast tearing up creatures and crawling inside
of him. I looked at it more sadistic.
You could take that too.
Okay. I see what you mean, though. He's that oddball.
The oddball with high energy when allowed to release. Because you remember him before.
Don't spoil this. Just for people who haven't read, but I get what you mean.
Yeah.
This next one is from Bryce from Shelf Centered. Shout out to Bryce, fellow booktuber. Check him out. He's awesome. We had him on the channel. We got to talk to him again, have him back on.
We have to. Yeah.
So Bryce asked us, do you guys ever get sick of each other? In parentheses, asking because I'm jealous of your relationship. Aw.
All the time.
That was lighthearted.
We're supposed to be joking. Oh, never. We're the bestest of friends. Never getting on each other's nerves.
Next question is from Dungeon Master Tom, and he asks, is it difficult? This was a back-to-back. I picked these questions because it was a little pick-me-up, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes, is it difficult being the most handsome people to ever review books? And do you not think about it? He called us handsome.
That's nice.
Tom called us handsome.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, that's nice.
I just wanted to feel good, you know?
I do feel good.
It's just, I ignored the question and said, you two ugly shits. So this is a selection bias. Everyone must know.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks a bunch. Okay. This next question is from PapaFlow3116. Asks, any other books aside from ACOTAR that you feel are in the good, bad, or best, worst type of category? Books that you don't think are good, but also in some sense, they sort of are. Maybe kinda. A book that should be bad, but you like. Blues Brothers, the movie, basically.
We don't say that. Don't mention Blue. Don't do that. We don't joke about Blues Brothers. Okay.
We don't joke about Bruno or whatever it is. We don't talk about Bruno, that Encanto.
Different movie.
Okay.
Gideon the Ninth. On concept wise, I don't think it should be good. Like, just concept wise, and where I was kind of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Dumb concept. Okay, fun concept, but like ultimately shouldn't be very good. But it is. It's surprisingly good for what the type of book it is.
That's a good answer. Okay. I would say, and I mean this as a compliment, but Sigils, Andrew Givler, some of his books in his series, like Death Tax and Dandelion Audit, we beta read his books, but they are in the territory where, no, it's not that high, it's not literature.
It's not like your Lord of the Rings. You're not going to learn about it in a No. Like an English class.
But it's also not that action. It's also not Red Rising where it's like super entertaining. It's in that line of it's interesting and just fun.
Oh, it's an enjoyable read.
That's the thing where it's...
I really enjoyed, especially like his fourth book. Really good.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
My favorite's still second. Fourth is in second. I would go book two, then four.
Yeah, I'd go 4-2.
Hey, fair enough. Fair enough. Next question is from Awesome Tingle. Man, why are these names? Okay. Awesome Tingle asks, why do you think science fiction and fantasy are always lumped together?
Probably the most imaginative worlds. I mean, it's the most outside of your world, outside of your realm.
Fair enough. I'm thinking as well with fantasy side, marketing wise, pure marketing wise, it's like, why put the red peppers and green peppers on opposite sides of the grocery store?
Mm.
Like, if you like fantasy, you'll likely like sci-fi. If you like sci-fi, you'll likely like fantasy. It's like, why make them go all the way, you know?
It's not as different as crime novels and mystery novels.
You could stereotype us nerds pretty well and go like that fits together. And also, I guess the concepts too, like you're saying with the worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the line is, just, Sanderson puts it best, where the line is sci-fi is improbable, fantasy is impossible.
Yeah.
That line is very thin. It's both kind of magic. It's both, you have to stretch a lot to believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So in regular fiction, you kind of just, it's all the concepts you already know, just put in a fictional story that didn't happen. Whereas fantasy, sci-fi are creating something from nothing.
Yeah.
Well, fiction is too, but you get what I mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next question is from Captain Coots. Okay, that's a cool name. Asks, where would you live if you could live in one book series universe? Rich, I'm so curious what you think. If you could live in one book series universe. I have a guess on what you'd say, but I want to see if this is what you think of.
What would you think I say?
Discworld. I would think you'd want to go in Discworld just because of the... You'd have such an interesting time. And when you die, you get to see death.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
I think it actually would.
It would be
Discworld? That'd be the most... Especially if I know I'm in the Discworld. I could have the most fun. Now, here's the thing. High likelihood of death. Strong likelihood of death. Lots of death.
Yeah.
But? My afterlife could be anything that I believe. Whatever I believe about the afterlife would be real.
Oh, yeah.
And I get to talk with death. And death from Discworld gets to guide me into the afterlife.
You're having great time.
I can't think of a better gift to yourself than that. So
than a good death.
Yeah, a great death.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of a better answer than that. It's a great answer.
Also, you just have fun. Like, words are magic. The gods are real. You could just, it's way too much fun.
Yeah, great answer.
Yeah.
I was thinking because of death, you'd think that, but is there any other fantasy series, sci-fi series that tops that at all? Because a lot of them would be pretty brutal.
I would very much post Project Hail Mary has some elements where there's so much fun. It's our world, but on the cusp of... I don't want to spoil anything.
Don't.
There's aspects of someone saying like, oh, you're objectively wrong, but there's also facts. There's certain elements about where I think even the downsides are worth it.
Okay.
I will say that.
Hey, we'll move on then. Danners asks, maybe I missed it, but what's your guys' origin story as friends?
Okay.
We've probably talked about this before.
Probably.
Yeah. I put it in there just because...
The TLDR of it is... When I went to university, a friend of mine from high school also went to the same place.
Hey, Alexander.
And then I was going into his room, and Alexander got this guy as a random roommate. And I walk into the room, and I just see him doing crunches and sit-ups on the top bunk of his bed without a shirt on. And, yeah, and I said hi. And then we didn't become friends till 2 years later. He needed he had a poker group, and all of their locations to have the poker game crapped out, and they're like, hey, Rich has an apartment off campus. He can host the game.
Rich was my plan C.
I was his plan C for the poker night. And then we became friends.
Before that, for that year and a half or so, freshman, I think it was halfway through sophomore year.
Yeah.
That's probably when that happened. For that year and a half, I'd seen you maybe a couple times a month just because you were in the group. I was like, oh, yeah. There he is. That guy.
We just had different interests in general.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, at that time you were working on a real estate thing.
Yeah.
I remember it was you and Liam were working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
I've had a lot of failed dreams.
We're really working on this one.
Yeah. But yeah, that was basically it.
All right, spilled water on me. Gideon Kane asks, how's Austin's book going?
You got to answer this one.
Well, he should also ask you, how's Richard's book going, too?
Oh, yeah. I actually got finally some progress on it. I cleared a major world-building hurdle, so I can now actually start writing it. Well, writing the actual story rather than just me writing about world-building and things like that.
How's that going?
It's good. I started doing more after our talk last time.
I was talking about it was really good. And Gideon, book, it's going good. It will be going better. That's my update.
Ah, it will be going better.
Yes, when I get things off my plate and then I'm able to go into that plate. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question is from, I will touch on that and just say, it's all plotted out, all the characters are set, the entire world's set, I have the intro chapters, it is just now setting time aside and plowing through it. Mm. So, I could not be more, passionate about doing it. It's just, it's so easy for me when in work style. Well, passion isn't the thing that...
You have ADHD, and you get, when you get on... You don't multitask well.
No, I singular task. And the thing with the book is usually when there's something to do, it's either, okay, Rich, you're very good at working on the year-long project and then screw the short term. Yeah. I'll kind of latch on being like, okay, let me prioritize what's coming up next week and then next week, the next week, or next couple of days and doing this. And then books aren't like that. Books just have to be consistent. You do this chapter, mm-hmm. do that. And I have to not look at it as one big project, but rather a lot of mini projects, and that's how I'll get it done. But
yep.
Working on that. So this next question is from Cal the High Storm, who asked two questions for you both. Richard, what are your thoughts on Faithful and the Fallen? And do you think Austin would love it? And then I'll ask the second question.
Sure. I really like Faithful and the Fallen. I think it's a lot of fun. It has one key element about it that made it different from the rest. And it's the reason why I'd even recommend someone. If it didn't have this, it would just be fine. But you get to see both the dual POV, and there's more POVs, but the two main POVs of you get the hero and the villain's POV, and both think they're the good guy and the chosen one. So the villain thinks they're the chosen one. That's super fun. I really enjoy that that gimmick or that angle for the story. I think you would really like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would love it. It's a bit slower. It's in your vein of classic fantasy, so it spends a lot more time with the characters and a lot more traveling. And, I don't know if it's as fast-paced that you would like it as much. You may enjoy it, though.
It doesn't have to be fast-paced.
No, but the main thing is fast-paced just for the characters. Are the characters growing? That's why...
Progression. Progression's the word, not... Fast-paced.
The characters are not progressing very quickly.
Okay.
It's you're sitting with them for a while. I don't know if the main character is
Stormlight-esque or
fascinating. No, Stormlight, I think character-wise they progress and they change a lot.
By the end, yeah. So you're saying by the end of the book they don't as much as the series. No. I see what you mean.
Over the series they change, but not a ton in book to book.
Got it. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then the second question was, Austin, what are a few things at the top of your TBR? And do you think any of them will soon become your new favorites? And I will say, First Law is something that I think would be up my alley and is on top of my TBR.
We did say it would be top of your TBR a year ago. So let's hopefully this time it's true.
So listen, I want to read it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
It's good. It's real good.
A more light question from Timothy Schrock says, sunrises or sunsets for you, Rich? What kind of guy are you?
I mean, sunsets. New Mexico sunsets are the best sunsets in the world, bar none. They're gorgeous.
You're willing to fight over that?
Oh, it's an objective fact.
Okay.
I've seen a few sunsets in my day, and it hasn't gotten better.
Damn. Is it in a certain spot in New Mexico, or just in general?
In general. It just has the most vibrant colors and fun mix.
I always see, do you ever see those sunset pictures from Walmart parking lots? And it's always so cool.
Oh, yeah. It's always great.
Is that basically New Mexico?
Yeah.
Straight in the back of a Walmart. It's just, ooh, damn.
No, it seriously is. It's just often like there will be a lot of colors in a sunset.
Yeah.
However, a lot of places, most of the time, they kind of mix. The colors kind of all come together. It's not as clear. New Mexico, for some reason, the colors are very distinct and different, and they shine just a little more fun. I don't know. I enjoy it. You have that along with white sands.
So you're gorgeous. A sunset kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a sunrise kind of guy.
You an early riser?
Well, you know why I'm a sunrise kind of guy? Remember that trip we went on with Dom?
Ah, yes. That was a good time.
That nice time, there was a nice little mist across the water.
Mm-hmm.
A nice little sunrise and having coffee.
We had a nice little romantic coffee moment.
Yeah,
it was good.
I think fondly about that.
It was a good time.
Yeah. Now this next question is from Sasha Keef, 2703, and asks, what's your thoughts on physical TBRs of 100 or more books? When people have a TBR and it's like a CVS receipt.
I mean, I always am just impressed. It's great. Like, what negative to that? Like, other than it just getting to you like anxiety-wise, I don't see much of a problem with it. I mean, I don't really even have an official TBR. I have things I like, and then eventually...
Oh, I'll do that.
It's not any order until I get to, like, on a month-to-month basis. I kind of plan, like, 4 weeks out at a time.
Yeah.
Is generally... So... My now, especially, minimum is I read at least a book a week, and I plan out 4 weeks ahead. And sometimes I can fit in multiple in 1 week.
Yeah.
Depending on the length of the book.
Do you think that a long TBR can almost be pointless if it gets that long? Like, how long's too much?
Oh, yeah. At a certain point, if you got 100 books in there. Yeah. So, like, are you just not going to look at any new books for a whole year? Or
do they go to the top, or how's that change things? Yeah.
I mean, just having a list of books I'm interested in and then pulling from it is probably fine.
Yeah. This next question is from Ultra Laid Back and asks, do you guys accept ARC books from new indie authors?
Yes.
And we have a new book a series coming on the channel.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Where we're having indie channel and indie authors on the channel to pitch their books and so forth.
It's an indie author spotlight.
Yeah.
So basically a... combination video with... Do we want to actually spoil?
Well, they'll see it. It'll be up.
We're featuring indie authors. It's going
to
be fun.
We're having ideas because we really want to see how to do that in the community more. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we want to do because we also know how difficult it is to market.
Oh, yeah.
And give eyes to books you guys wouldn't see usually.
Mm-hmm.
Next question is from Curie Della Serna, 8515, and says, congrats on 25K. The first person in their question to say congrats. You know,
that's nice.
All we wanted was a little congrats. It's always ask and ask and ask, and it's never, how are you? It's always,
yeah,
give, give, give. These ungrateful. Wait, most of them are for our patrons. Never mind. I take that back.
They thank us enough.
I'm so sorry. So this person asks, my question is, what are your pet peeves, book related or not?
Pet peeve book related is the kind of trope of if they tell you the plan, then that means the plan's not going to work. And then if they don't tell you the plan's going to work. And every time I see it now, it bugs me. I don't like that. Not book pet peeve would be lines. I hate lines. Any type of line. Lines should be illegal. I'd vote for president anytime they'd say, like, they get rid of lines and traffic. That would be my thing. Also, paying for parking. That should be illegal.
Yeah.
I don't care how little it is.
Paying should be illegal.
No, I like the paying thing. I like people giving me money for things and services. But
you paying.
Me paying to park my car seems wrong.
Yeah, you have to pay for parking for a car you paid for.
Yeah, too many.
Too many payments.
Too many payments.
Slow that down. Oh, you know what? The day that we're all doomed is when there's a parking subscription service. Oh, I just gave them a bad idea.
Yeah, and that kind of already exists.
No way.
In some big cities.
What?
I mean, yeah, you pay for a parking spot. You pay monthly.
Oh, for like... That's so true. I'm an idiot.
That's a thing. We don't live in the big city, if you can't tell.
Well, we're
out here in rural Virginia.
I was thinking a subscription
service of multiple locations.
Yeah, yes. I was thinking that, and also like street parking situations.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate it. What are your pet peeves?
Pet peeves for books are dream sequences that go nowhere or mean nothing. Mm. But pointless dream sequences. For regular pet peeves, the loud chewing in people's ears. That can get me a little bit. But one even more than that is the humble brags. You know the humble brags? It's actually a brag. It's not,
it's like,
you know, I'm going on my PJ.
PJ?
Private jet. It's the lingo, people. That's the lingo. To be like, you know, I'm going on the PJ later. It's like, it's whatever. I don't know. Just the when people, you know what? When people throw acronyms,
I don't mind the actual bragging. It's the humble brag that's worse.
It is because it's your just say it.
But also, like, there's some type of authenticity of someone who's just genuinely excited about something they're doing and proud of themselves for it.
Good for you.
Going like, hey, I'm going on the private jet. I just got a private jet. It's like, you know, good for you, man.
Good for you, Mort.
Good for you.
Sounds like Mort.
Good for you, Mort. Yeah. Instead of, oh yeah, I'm going on the private jet later. It's the weird, slimy seeking of attention.
Yeah.
It's not fun. It's not good.
Because it comes off as in you're looking for that validation more than you actually enjoying it, being enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
Because you're looking for validation rather than you having your own validation.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe good. A confidence thing. Interesting. Wow. Ah, that led somewhere. This next question from Guli Ruffin asks, it seems you read books you like. How do you actually know you'll like them? Do you choose them from instinct, reviews, synopsis, people's general opinions, etc.? We just have a few questions left, so we're nearing the end here.
Okay. For me, if it has a cool cover, I'll probably pick it up. If Mike's Book Reviews recommends it, I'll try and pick it up.
Yeah.
Also, Matt's Fantasy Reviews. Those are my two like big booktubers for getting recommendations from. If Coop from our Patreon says to read a book, I'll try and pick it up. He has great recommendations. He's
top tier.
He's top tier book reader.
Yeah.
He's got good stuff. Also, if my mom tells me to read something, I try and give it a shot.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Your mom's giving us great video ideas too.
Oh yeah.
Stellar. One of our earliest viewers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rich's mom.
How do you pick up books? Basically what I tell you to. That's how you get books is what I say to do.
Yes.
Hey, read this. Read this book next.
All right. This next question. This one's for Rich. You're going to have a little good time. Maybe give your top three because Jeremy asked, rank each Wheel of Time book. Because it's hard to go through all of them. What would you say your three favorite are? And this is from our Patreon, Jeremy. Thank you.
The Shadow Rising, Memory of Light, and Knife of Dreams. Yeah, that swap that out with Gathering Storm.
Okay.
One of those three. So
okay. But Shadow Rising is in there for sure. And then the latter books get the other two.
The final book, yeah.
Gotcha. This next question is, this is from Ati Shard asks, what do you think about the idea that books should not be adapted into TV and film? What do you think about the ones that just stay away from adaptations entirely?
83% of the time, that's correct.
83? You've done the math?
I've done the math. I've calculated it. Too bad I'm bad at math.
What do you think about that?
Oh, most of the time, it's disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, at best, often, it's like, oh, at least, hey, maybe it'll get more people to eventually read the book and realize how much better it is. That's most movie adaptations. But especially with sci-fi fantasy, they, you know, Hollywood does not have a great track record. at making quality adaptations.
What did you think of The Martian?
Ultimately disappointing. Like, as a movie for, like, as a movie, pretty good. As an adaptation, it cut a lot of the stuff that I thought was important and added things that I didn't think was important.
Interesting. And,
like, especially the ending. Oh, God.
Oh.
Butchered the ending, oh. I think. But honestly, it was kind of silly. You've seen it, though.
The movie, yeah.
But basically, the ending in the movie is the, from the book, is the dumb idea. In the book, character has dumb idea.
Yeah.
And then everyone discounts, like, that's a stupid idea. That's not how we're, that's not going to work. We're not doing that. We're doing the real plan.
Yeah.
And then they do that. In the movie, they literally just go with the dumb idea. The dumb idea is actually what they do for the movie. And I look at it, it's like, that's retarded. That's so stupid.
Why'd that happen?
I don't know. They wanted to make it more cinematic, I think.
Oh.
But
that's, interesting.
Anyway.
Well, we got another question from Thomas, who asks if Tom asks if you could be the creative director of any IP of your choice, what would it be? Any IP of your choice.
I mean, the Wheel of Time. They've butchered it enough. I'd like a hand at it. And thing is, I can't actually do the work, but I think I could be a decent gatekeep of just like hiring the right people and just generally, I think I could hire people that say, hey, have you read The Wheel of Time? They go, yes. Did you like it? Yes. Oh, okay. You're hired. And I'd probably do a better job than what they're doing.
Pick people that love it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That'd be my revolutionary idea.
And this is the last question. I do want to, I mean, you guys probably tell from the title, but we're going to have a part two on these questions.
You guys have a lot of questions.
You had a lot of questions. We're going to end it with this one so that we can get into the new round of them. Because it's past midnight now. We're a little tired. You know, it's 12:30 at night.
I have a computer to finish building.
We're gonna ask this last question, then we're gonna go take a sleep, and we'll be back tomorrow. Yeah. But for everybody else, a couple days from now.
Yeah.
And we'll do the other Q&A. Because this last question is, what are your guys' least favorite book of all time? Like, you actually hate it. And I just use this. I just wanted to reemphasize, like, our friend's book's awful. I'm doing it. Dom, if you're watching, we love you, buddy.
Oh, we do. And we know you're going to get there. We know you're going to make it.
It's really, we believe in you. It's a thing about tenacity. And I think, as anybody out there who's trying to critique or you're beta reading a book, the most important thing is honest feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Too
many times where people will be afraid to actually heavily critique a book because they know it's their first time and they don't want to offend their feelings. Especially, it's hard to say something like something that someone's worked on for months and then tell them to their face that it sucks.
It's so deeply personal.
Yeah, it's easy to say that on an online comment anonymously.
Oh, yeah.
Super easy. But telling it to someone's face, it's uncomfortable.
It's also just as important to, Sanderson said this for advice, when giving advice on a book and critiquing something, to also highlight what's good about it. Because a lot of times when people are critiquing something, they'll say everything bad. And then in the revision process, the person will get rid of the good parts because you didn't emphasize the good parts about it.
Yeah.
So it's also important giving that feedback of, hey, here's what's bad, but also here's what's good.
Mm-hmm.
And giving both of that to be like, oh, here's what I like, here's what I didn't like, and hey, I'm not the writer, I'm just giving you feedback on we're just readers here, we're just giving you that, take it with a grain of salt, it's your book. But a helpful thing to do is go highlight, this is good, highlight, this is what didn't connect for me, and explaining why, not just being bad, good, but explain why did it hit you that way. And maybe next time, when our books are out there, Rich, we'll have a little review of each other's.
I think we have to.
Oh, that, yes.
Those are going to be some scathing reviews. I think I'm going to, for your book, I'm going to have two parts of the video.
Two parts.
One is where I'm going to pull someone else, and we're going to review it together without you being there.
Okay.
And then we'll pull you in.
Okay. That'll be so interesting. Well, this was part one. We will see you all for us another day, but it'll be another day for them too.
Yeah.
It's late. Forgive us.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Good night, y'all.
We'll be right back.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.